What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. What was that, Tom?
I was going to go boom, pa, boom, boom, pa.
Oh, all right. Well, then do it.
Boom, pa, boom, boom, pa.
Thank you. This is show number 118. Topic, Russ Tenney. This is December 6th, 2022. What's up with the rain? How you doing, Sean?
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Elijah?
What'd it be like?
What's up, Tom?
You.
What's up, Russ?
Hey.
Sorry.
We need to turn Russ's bass up a little bit.
I didn't plan that in advance. I should have had something, but
something prepared for that.
That's okay.
I mean, you look like you were planning. I don't understand how you didn't plan.
I was thinking about
you skipped that part.
This stuff
in the intro.
So we've expanded.
We have. We have five now.
This is the first time we've ever had five?
I think we've done it once before.
Was I here?
Who knows? You're here, you're not here. We never know.
Wow, your microphone sounds amazing today, Tom. Somebody who loved you adjusted that microphone.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it does sound nice tonight. I appreciate you.
Yeah, not a problem.
I sound like a man.
Let's do a little gambling. Is that okay?
I don't know. I don't know.
Talk gambling?
I literally just it's interesting you bring that up because Illumination was going to have a fundraiser and it had to do with
sports betting.
Casino night. Casino.
Bingo. And I shut it down because I felt since we are the compassionate ministry of the Royal Church of the Nazarene, I consider that gambling.
What?
And I shut it down and
how
we're not
many
doing it.
Churches have bingo in them.
Not any Nazarene church I've ever been in.
They shouldn't have bingo in them.
Yeah, that's not
Would you allow it?
Goes to the building
do you remember? Do you guys ever see the Impractical Jokers where they played bingo?
Yeah, and you had to keep saying bingo?
That's my favorite episode ever. That was my favorite episode ever when the guy, his challenge was he had to say bingo every time they called out a number. I've never seen so many angry old ladies in my life.
Tom, would you allow the bingo to happen if the gambling was with M&Ms or some other?
Well, it's interesting you say that because some people, we'll just leave names out of the story, thought that if you weren't playing for monetary, for money, for actual cash, then it's not considered gambling. So yeah, I would still leave it out for the M&Ms.
Okay.
Who would think such a thing?
I'm not sane.
Why wouldn't you?
There's no way I'm sane.
What were we talking about?
Bingo.
Gambling. Oh, what's the over-under on the what do you guys think would be the odds that Tom and I are going to get our Christmas lights up before... Get our Christmas lights up at all.
We're still over under.
That's what
so are we talking? I think that we need to figure out who's going to do it first.
You're going to do it first.
And then what day that's going to be. What's the over under, like December 15th?
I want to say 14th.
I feel like there's a point where it's just not.
14th, if not, and you're going to get them up before Tom.
Like December
Tom's
20th,
have
there's
his
no
down
point.
Before you.
Didn't one of you just take him down like
last like a month ago?
And we both took him down the same way.
Were yours
what's
like,
up, I mean?
Yours were clipped onto the gutter.
Oh, it was like...
Like the plastic clips exploding.
Yeah. Wrenchers only half up anyway.
Because the ladder wasn't high enough for the other part.
So Restremio is watching. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Restremio?
Well...
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so who's getting that done first, Tom?
Or you.
I'm going to do it first?
Mm-hmm.
And what date?
I want to say between the 14th and the 16th.
That's so late, though. It's like for 8 days?
Well, you know what? Between the 12th and the 14th.
When is it appropriate? Like, when? What?
If it's not up by the 17th, just forget about it.
Right. That's exactly my point. And at what date is it just...
Just remember the faces of the kids when they come home and they ride past every house that's lit up and it's beautiful.
Right.
And then they get home and they're like, oh, cool.
I'm used to disappointing them.
Oh, okay. At least...
You got kids, Russ?
Three daughters?
I know the answer, but I feel I need to ask.
I get...
You got three kids?
I have three daughters, yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
My one daughter's been listening to Christmas music since before Tom even declared Christmas season. Like, so it was sometime in October, I think.
That's right.
She's awesome.
What are the ages?
16, 14, and 11.
Yowzers.
Do any of them care about Christmas lights?
Yeah, they put them up with their mom. I don't really help with the decorating much.
They put the outdoor lights up with their mom? Is that what you just said?
Yes, but there's only a few things. Back when I used to do it, I did like one of them tree wraps. So I'm just like...
Is that like where you just shoot it over the tree?
No, it's very meticulous. You keep wrapping around and around and then like up each branch. And it looks really cool.
Oh, that does look cool. I like that. Yeah.
But I'd be really dizzy at the end of that.
It took me like a couple days just for the tree.
There's a guy where I grew up in Staten Island the dude had to start like July. I mean, it was one of those where everybody in the neighborhood, it's on the news, you know, everybody drive by, you know, before that was like, but I mean, that guy had to spend every day for like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
You ever see the Great Christmas Light Show thing that they have on TV? Mm-hmm. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
You ever see it, Tom?
I have.
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I
know.
You neither do you? Well, I'm talking to these two then.
Cool.
Do you see how they hook everything up to the computer and, mm-hmm. and with the music and all of that stuff? I couldn't do it. Mm-mm. I couldn't do it.
Well, I used to work at the Berks County Parks, and we have a light show that we did at...
Can you get closer to the mic?
Oh, sorry. About that.
That's all right.
At Grings Mill in the Reading area. And so I helped out with those lights. So I figured once I did enough of those for a few years, then I don't need to decorate anymore. I put in my time.
I think time the cheesiest way to decorate your house, it's cheating, it's cheesy, but I understand, is the people that get the thing that they just put in the lawn and it just shines on the house.
Yes, I saw one last night. And next, there's one person, their neighbor had done the full old school decorating. And it looked beautiful. And then like the next person over just had one of these spotlights they took out of the box, stuck it on the lawn, plugged it in.
The funny thing about that is when you have a, like, because Claire and I, before this house, we lived in townhouses, right? So when someone puts it on their townhouse, you still get like a little bit on the two side walls. They're like, dude, you got a little bit of lights on my house right here. Is it cheating if you hire somebody to do your lights?
No.
No, I thought about it this year.
I'm going to do that next year. So I'm going to hire somebody to do my lights.
I don't think that's cheating. As long as
I don't think you get the satisfaction from it, though.
Like, I'm not worried about the satisfaction.
You do. You know what? The satisfaction you get is the same satisfaction you got when dude came to put in your sink stuff. You had a cup of coffee in your hand and you...
The satisfaction for me is exactly what he said is like tonight. It's already dark, right? Coming to my house and it's all lit up. That's the satisfaction. It's not like, ooh, look what I did.
I like the idea of like you pull in and everything's lit up. And yeah. It's really nice. Yeah. And it's like, ooh, that's, you know, I get to pull into that house. Like,
yeah.
But I think there was a satisfaction in the fact that I did it. Like, I feel like every day I pull in, if I hired somebody to do it, I'd feel a little like dirty about it.
I think you could do, if you did it the way that my dad, let me back up for a second, because he hasn't done this with Christmas lights yet. But you know how like sometimes you have a plumber come over, electrician come over, whatever. My dad thinks it's his duty to like be glued to that person, and he will just sit there and talk to him the entire time they talk. So maybe if you have someone do the Christmas lights, just stay with them the whole time, and talk their ear off, and then it'll count as you're helping.
I agree.
That's so cheap.
I agree.
That's
so cheap. Can I get your cup of coffee?
See, I renovated houses for a long time, and I feel like I can't. Elijah, remember that look I had on my face when that guy was working on my sink?
That's what I'm saying. You were like...
So we hired a company to do a reverse osmosis water filtration system in our kitchen. Because I had just finished remodeling the house, and I had no interest in working on anything else. And he was drilling a hole in the granite, and Elijah was over. What were we doing? Were we watching a... I don't know.
It was during a weekday.
I forget what we were doing. I might have left work early on Friday
but
he stopped in, and I couldn't stop watching the guy work. I was just making sure he was doing it right. I think Elijah commented like my fingernails were like stuck in the couch because he was drilling through granite, and I was like, I don't know your qualifications. So they might have just hired you yesterday.
You'll appreciate this because any of the other guys got Jersey experience, New Jersey?
I mean, Sean drove through. Sean's not allowed back there.
Yeah.
There's a few states like that.
So you know you can't pump your own gas, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is how far my dad goes with that.
I know that.
Yeah. You're not supposed to pump your own gas. Huh.
I do every time I go. That's probably they yell at me from the booth.
He just assumed. Dude. Wow. What? How did he know who I was? Why is he yelling at me? All right, go ahead.
He must watch the show.
Yeah.
But my dad will, like, he'll get out of the car and he'll sit there with the person who's pumping his gas and he'll be talking to them too. So
it's not
anybody.
I'm guessing he's not checking to make sure they're doing it right. He just thinks it's his duty to, like, entertain them.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So I can see your dad, like, getting pulled over by a cop and then getting out of his car to talk to the cop while he's waiting a ticket. Hey, how you doing? You spelled my name wrong.
He gets in the passenger side of the cop car and sits down.
It's so funny. I hope somebody else knows this because you mentioned New Jersey and somebody I work with would frequent.
His dad gets pulled over and he just walks. He doesn't even give the cop time to get out.
Yeah, he gets out. I brought my license for you.
All right.
It could happen. Y'all laugh, but it could happen.
But she told, like, a woman at work, and she was telling me that they have a name for people like us from, you know, Pennsylvania that go down to the shore.
Pumpers?
No. Were you about to say it? You know it?
No, I have no idea.
I grew up in Jersey, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
No? You've never heard us being called shoobies?
Oh, no. I'm not. Shoobies. See, the short crowd is a different type of jersey.
And
too.
I believe that. Yeah. I believe that they would call us. She said my relatives would call us shoobies and call you guys shoobies because you would come down to the shore and you'd have shoebox lunches. Like, you have your lunches in, like, a shoebox. So they call it, to this day, she said they still call us shoobies.
Hmm. Are you sure this wasn't just, like, a weird dream that you had?
No, I'm positive. I never reached REM, so I can't dream.
Why not?
I never reach REM. I never sleep for longer than 4 hours. I can't get rested.
That's horrible.
It is. I can't remember the last time I had a dream.
Why?
I try. I just can't sleep.
Maybe you just wake up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I need a new bed.
I have a
bed.
Service I provide for that. I can swing by and take care of that.
No, because that requires a brick. I know Sean service.
There's a few methods we can use.
A brick, a Louisville Slugger.
Yeah. Metal one.
Oh, God.
So you don't sleep more than 4 hours?
Yeah.
Or do you wake up and then go back to sleep for another 3.5?
It varies. I don't know. It might be anxiety.
This is,
I don't know.
So this Elijah that we know is sleep deprived all the time, and he's, like, worn out. What we actually don't know is if he got a full night's sleep, he'd have, like, a British accent.
Cheerio, Gubna.
So listen, the weirdest thing happened today. That if I was a gambling man, which I am not, let's get that straight. I'm getting ready to go for districting.
Is that why you were trying licensing. To borrow money from me behind?
So have you ever seen the pictures on social media where there's a car pulling out of a gas station and he still has the hose in it and he's driving around with it? You were close though.
What's that?
Did you ever see that picture?
Yes, I've seen several.
So I've always thought that was photoshopped. Always. Well, today, I'm at Wawa getting my sandwiches for tomorrow, and it happened. This dude just pulled out with the hose still in his car. It yanked off the machine, and he still kept driving. He stopped. I was starting to run after him to tell him, and then he pulled off. He made a left on Rich Pike and just kept driving with that thing hanging down.
They have his license plate number.
Yeah. No, Wawa didn't know until I told him.
They have a license. They have it already.
They have it on video. My question is, are they going to do anything about it?
It
probably happens. Those things, from my understanding, they're made to detach and not spill fuel.
The way they are now.
That being said, they have to be really expensive.
Yeah. So he's going to get a bill.
Just want it back.
He's going to get a bill or bring it back.
The question I would have is, what kind of car was it?
It was a sedan.
But I want to know. Like, I want to know, is that like a Hyundai person or is that like a...
Because if it's a truck, you can kind of like... But Ford. With a little car, you would hear that thing.
Oh, no. You know for sure.
Yeah.
He or she knew that it happened as soon as they heard the clunk. But then it was just like...
From what I could tell, it was a really, really old man.
Oh, you want
to
blame
him? No, so maybe he's just used to hearing things smash.
Or he didn't hear it at all. He completely didn't hear it. He was just driving. Did you go steal his gas cap? Because you know it was still sitting on top of the pump.
Well, no, because mine goes, put it on the door.
What was the reaction?
You can tell Sean's got a really old car.
I never used that.
It has like a cord.
No. Sean's isn't that it's old. He just unscrewed it one time and it was just hooked there. He's like, rip. He just ripped it off.
Nobody has time for this.
Nobody has time for this dangly thingy.
Dangly thingy.
The second question I had, what was it? Drive away, car. There was another thing that popped into my head. Keep talking. Talk about something.
So the funny thing is, I was going to record them.
Oh, what was the reaction of the Wawa employee when you told them?
Was it
just like, third one today? Or was it shock?
No, they were shocked. They were shocked.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that can't happen that often.
I know somebody that it happened to.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not going to talk about Pastor Pete on the show, though.
Get out of here.
I mean, I'm pretty sure when he told me that he did it, he said, please don't ever tell anybody that happened to me. So I promise I'm not going to tell you who it was.
You have told the wrong person because I got to call him this week.
Yeah, totally. And I think he brought it back. I think he brought the thing back.
Hey, man, I can just see him.
I don't understand because you pump your own gas, and then at some point you got to know it's done. I just don't understand how you do that.
I don't know. Maybe he got in the car because it was cold. Like, people let it go, and they sit in the car, and then maybe it was like, oh, I'm good. Maybe he thought he was in New Jersey.
The other thing that could happen is, like, if he got out to do it, and then got distracted, and then got back in, thought he'd done it. I mean,
yeah,
I could totally see myself doing that. I really could.
I haven't done that before, but I've done the drinks on the roof.
Oh yeah,
I've done that one.
Fall. But there was one time where I like pulled up to this light, and I don't know, I wasn't anywhere near the gas station, and like somebody pulled up alongside of me, and they're like looking over at me, and they're like, and I'm like, what is this person doing? Like, why are they bugging me? And it turns out they like finally got my attention to like look at your roof or whatever. And I reached up and I grabbed it, and the cup was still sitting there. I just pulled it out. I was like, oh, thanks. I just drank it. But I had been, I don't know. I was like, I swear I've been driving for like 5 minutes or something. Like, I don't even know how it stayed up there.
Wow. But
I don't know. I was like in residential area, so it wasn't like super fast or anything. But still, I was just, I don't know how it stayed on there.
All right. So I saw somebody pulling out of the gym, and they had it up there, but they weren't driving very far. So and he did the same thing, which I thought was a cool move. Like, what you just,
yeah, just reached out and grabbed
just,
it.
Just didn't get out of the car, just reached up, knew exactly where it was. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that either. If I reached my hand out, I'd be like,
three phone books.
I would knock it over. So
I feel it. I feel it.
Speaking of Tom,
I'll attribute to the minivan power. I love my minivan. So
I am, for the first time in my life since I was 21, I'm without a minivan, and I'm in withdrawal. I miss the minivan.
I'm sorry. Can we add that to the prayer request list?
Yeah. what kind of minivan? What kind of minivan Odyssey. You got?
Oh, Honda Odyssey. Yep.
Yeah, Honda Odyssey. Think,
yep.
That's
top of the line. Spaceship.
Burgundy.
Spaceship.
Oh, in Burgundy. That makes it faster.
The entertainment system in there?
DVD yeah, player, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Keeps the kids quiet in the back.
Mm-hmm. That's how my wife mine just has endless supply of duct tape.
All right. So I have a quick game. Not really a game. Just it's more of a question, but I think we can make it into a game. It's called the height game.
That is small. Okay. What is this?
Tom's head is small.
What do you guys think?
Where do you see that?
It's on the notes. Why did you put Tom's head is small?
I think that's it. Well, first of all, that's not what I'm talking about now.
What?
Tom just noticed in the Google Doc I wrote Tom's head is small. But that was from a conversation we had like 3 weeks ago where you said you had a small head, and we were going to bring it up on the show, but we never did.
Yeah, we talked about the hats.
That's actually in my testimony, too. What the
heck? Whoa, why am I getting a Cash App request from Tom? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
That's because his legs are going to get broken later. What do you guys think is the average? I haven't looked this up. I don't know. What do you guys think is the average height of an American male?
5'9".
5'10".
Yeah, I think 5'10".
All right, let's go with 5'10". Would you rather be 5'11 or 5'9"?
5'11 all day.
Would you rather be 6 foot or 5'8"?
6 foot all day.
You guys can chime in.
6 foot.
Yeah. Yeah, 6 foot.
6'1", 5'7".
6'1".
6'1".
6'2", 5'6".
6'1".
6'1". 6'2".
All right, let's...
You think it's like a cap-out point or something? Like,
I'm trying to see at what point you'd rather be shorter than taller. Would you rather be 7'10"?
No.
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 Or 4'10"?
That's just wrong.
You get down to 3 foot, I'm in.
That's just wrong.
3 foot, I'm in.
Would you rather be...
6'8"?
No. We're not asking what your preference is. I want to see at what point you'd want to be short. Would you 7'6"?
See, I bang my head into things now.
Versus what? Right.
So I think there is a cap out point for me.
It definitely is.
I hate it, especially since I have no head.
Hair. 7'6" versus 5'1". You have to bend under every door. You can't get into most cars. You probably die younger. Because, you know.
Have any athletic ability?
No, you're 40.
Give me my 5'1".
So can I tell you something about. Sorry, Tom. Can I tell you something about being short?
There's hope.
I can't wait to hear this.
Some people want to be shorter than
No,
me,
this
Tom.
This is actually kind of scary. I had not known this before, but there was some training I was doing. And did you know, like, statistically, like, short people actually get paid less, you know?
Yes.
Like, actually, and it's not even like yep. It's a legit statistic. You will make less in a lifetime if you're shorter. Well, I was like, that's terrible. I don't.
No, it's totally true because
I'm not even making that up. You
no. Wow. Tom just quit the show. I think he's gonna go.
He's going to check his pay stub from the show to see what he's getting paid.
Every week somebody says something that brings tears to my eyes.
That sounds crazy.
Oh my God.
It's totally true. I've heard it before. And it's just it's a perception thing. If you have two people that are equally qualified for a job and one is 6'4" and one is 5'1", generally the guy who's 6'4" gets it. It's a power stature.
You're going to find out.
Only half a person, you only get half the pay.
All right, Reed, tell everybody what you're Googling and what the answer is.
Oh, I don't want to read this.
Ooh, short people got.
It says, you may be onto something. A new study finds, CNN reports that a study in the British Medical Journal found that shorter men and fatter women make much less than tall men and skinny women.
Oh, I didn't know the other part. But.
Well, Tom, there's hope for you. You could be a skinny woman.
There you go.
No, I actually wrote a paper just this last week for Becoming a Holy People on what the Bible says about dressing in the opposite sex clothing. So I can't be a short woman.
A skinny woman, he said.
I feel like there's whatever. When you say can't, it really limits your possibilities.
Now, when you post that.
I feel like you should have said shouldn't. I shouldn't be. You can't say you can't because you could be a woman. You could be a skinny woman.
I can't. I was born male.
I feel like I feel like you're just shutting the door on this.
I am.
Did people comment in the class about that? Because I feel like sometimes if you put something in our classes that's a little too controversial, people are I don't want to talk about
that. So it's funny. So it's funny because my wife knows that I am into the controversial stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why she doesn't listen to the show. Uh-huh. She stopped listening. But the professor actually wrote to me and said, I'm so glad that you referenced this verse because the situation that we're going on with the whole gender thing. Mm-hmm. So he actually was happy that I posted something about it, but nobody else in the class.
That's just because you're trying to like, you're trying.
I get that.
No, you're trying to create a diversion away from your church gambling.
Problem. I got the Cash App right here.
Okay. So did you guys notice that something seemed to be missing this year with Russ? Are you a football fan?
I don't know. I not
excuse me
sports a lot. I'm so sorry. I know you guys talk about it all the time. And
who? Where'd you find this guy?
Sean Fowler. My wife is a huge Eagles fan. So
Can we get her on?
Yeah, but we are one, right? So I feel like I get some sort of at least a like I can stick around because
she loves somebody. It. Remind me to talk about the Eagles in a minute. That's not where I was going. But did you feel like something was missing? Do you guys feel like something's missing this year in the football season? I feel like there's something missing, and I finally figured out what it is.
What, Tom Brady winning?
No, well that too. Rob Gronk. Well, I think the thing is related. Rob Gronkowski. He's not playing. And I think that's what we're missing. But also, he's an awful
actor,
awful TV personality.
Absolutely.
If that dude is not smashing his head into a wall or catching a football or, like, you know, getting running over three people, he should not be on TV. That dude is terrible. I don't know if it was Thanksgiving or last week.
Too many commercials he's in.
The commercials I don't mind. Like, if you give him a script and a little bit of direction and, you know, whatever, they can edit him out. He's okay. But when he's doing a live hit, it is terrible. Like, he tries to be funny, yeah, and he's just not. He's just goofy.
Is he that total opposite of Romo?
I think Romo's a little goofy too, but no, he's, I mean, he's just the opposite of who you want on TV. And the other thing that's really, really weird is he's, and it, I mean, I see why he was great at catching a football. His hands are like if he was wearing two foam fans hands in the stands. Wow, that made no sense.
But I know the foam fingers. If the foam fingers were whole hands, he has two.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
It, like it, maybe my hands from thumb to whatever pinky ring finger is like 9 inches. His are like 19. He's got these gigantic oven mitts. And so he was trying to find a place to, when he was doing his live hit, he was trying to like put them in his pockets or like cross. He couldn't hide them. They wouldn't go away. So.
Wow. All right. What were you going to say about the Eagles before
thank you. 2018. The Eagles were an underdog story. They had that famous, great quarterback, Carson Wentz. You know, prodigious
thank you, funny.
Talent, whatever. Anyway, he gets hurt. Nick Foles comes in, backup, underdog story, whatever. They go up. They go all the way to the Super Bowl. They should have gotten their butts kicked by Tom Brady. This is phenomenal. Nick Foles had the game of his life, 500 whatever yards. Right. They win the Super Bowl. This year, it also looks like there's a really good chance they're going to win the Super Bowl. Which one will be a better win?
Plead the fifth.
Because you know that when they're expected to do it, if they do it.
No, I'm just superstitious. You know this.
Tom, what do you think? You're an Eagles fan.
I think this year is going to be more exciting.
Why? What is wrong with you?
Because the expectation of it and then actually doing it is pretty cool.
There's only one way to go when you have the expectation you're going to win.
There was no, if we would have lost that year, it would have been like, well, we lost on house money. We'd had a great season.
Right, but you won when you shouldn't have. Yeah. So it was, Russ, help me out here. I mean, that is a better win,
right? I don't have to hear
the
Cowboys say, you only have one ring.
No, I would agree with that, actually. I do think that, there's a different feeling when you feel like you earned it. Like, it's not like it's some fluke happened or something weird. But if you earned it.
Are you agreeing with Tom or me?
Oh, sorry. Wait, who's
Tom said this would be a better win. If this year when they're expected to win, it'll be a better win than
then I guess I am. Yeah.
What? I totally think the underdog, unexpected, shouldn't have done, Okay, whatever. I think right now the only thing they could do is disappoint. Like either they fulfill expectations or they disappoint you. Where then whatever. I'm done.
Nah, so because if you keep talking, you're going to end up agreeing with me. So why don't you continue to say what you can
say?
That
sounds so
I'm
true.
I'm just saying.
Because if you keep talking
true.
About
no,
it.
See, because the best games that I think the Jets have ever played is when they're expected to lose, which is like every game.
Not talking games here. I'm talking Super Bowl.
Well, in 1969, when the Jets won the Super Bowl, I remember being really excited because they weren't supposed to beat the Baltimore Colts, but they did. So I have nothing. But when they go up against these teams that are like supposed to crush them, and they somehow succeed, I mean that's the happiest I ever am as a sports fan.
But I don't know. I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, but they've been pretty consistent this year, right?
That's my point. They're dominant.
I like consistency. Yeah, I do.
The thing is, if you would have asked
Carson Wentz was consistent,
which one would have been more disappointing than this year, right? But that's not the question you asked.
Which one would be more disappointing if they lost?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's clearly this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's clearly
this year. But no, I would. And listen, when it comes to the fact that it's a second ring, it's more exciting.
Really?
Yeah.
Not the first.
The first was great. Loved it. It was awesome.
But it can feel like a fluke, right?
Yeah, okay.
Then if you get another one and you did it because you earned it, then it's like, oh, no.
I can see that. But then it's like you only have two and Tom Brady's got seven or whatever.
All of a sudden, you're a Tom Brady fan?
They were controversial wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very controversial wins.
only six of them. the
bottom line of...
I'm still saying Jets-Eagles this year.
The bottom line is when it comes to the Eagles, I am not a fan of the fans who are looking ahead.
What about the dog poop fans? The horse poop fans?
Hold on. You're supposed to enjoy the moment, enjoy the ride. I'm not looking at five games ahead. I'm looking at the very next game.
1-0, baby, 1-0.
The very next game.
Right.
and then the game after that once this game is over.
They're opportunistic. They see, you know, they appreciate what's in front of them. Even if it's steaming horse poop, they appreciate it.
And they eat it.
And they eat it. Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Fine dining.
South Philly at its best.
Okay, so good transition moment. What do you guys, whose idea was it to bring Russ in today?
Sean's.
Yeah, all right. Sean, why'd you want to bring this guy in?
I don't know. It just seemed like a good idea at the time. I don't know. Now I'm not so sure. I'm kind of doubting myself. No, if you don't know Russ, which I think everybody but Elijah knew Russ when he came here. I've known Russ for a while.
Russ was excited to meet Elijah.
He used to help out at Birdsboro with... I can't think of the word.
Church?
No.
Pastor?
Nope.
Grass. Ministries?
Nope.
Ministry?
Nope. Keep going.
Singing?
Keep reading stuff off.
Talking?
VBS.
Bible?
VBS.
You're welcome.
Miming?
Miming? You help out with miming.
Can I tell you a fun Andreas story? I don't know if I told you this.
Andres. His name is Andres.
Andres, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to rattle off the
other. I can do that. Andres, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Very good. Nice.
Very nice.
He, the first time I met him, he was walking the tiny little dog, and my daughters started petting him and stuff, and they asked and stuff, and then I said, oh, you know, can I pet him too, or her, I forget, I don't know if it was a boy or a girl.
I don't know which dog he was walking then, so.
But, I bent over, I'm petting this dog for a couple minutes, and then all of a sudden he goes, huh, you're the first adult that petted him, and he didn't bite.
Oh, I know which dog it is now. Yeah,
yeah, and I was like, yeah. Oh, that would have been good information before you let me pet the dog. But
the dog's like, well, this guy has no fear. Clearly, I'll let him pet me.
That was his first dog. That's actually his aunt's dog now.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Due to circumstances. But, yeah, that dog is psychotic. I'm surprised that dog didn't bite you.
That's right.
I didn't know he had it. I don't remember him having a bird.
Can I pet your dog? I don't know. Can you?
Yeah.
Sure, go right ahead. See, Andres was a... very sadistic young man when he was young. No, he just...
No, it was that moment that I was like, I like this kid. Yeah. I thought that was one of the best stories.
I love my son, but some days I'm like, are you sure there's a brain in there? Like, I need to take you to a neurologist to get an MRI and make sure. Because sometimes he just doesn't think. It's just...
I think he just wanted to see. He wanted to ride that one out, see what happened.
He was like, it's a 50-50 shot.
I haven't seen this dog take somebody's hand off in at least a week. So, let's see it.
He must have fed the dog that morning. That's what it was. He actually fed the dog that day. So it didn't.
All right. So, who is Russ Tenney and why is he here?
Russ Tenney is currently... You're an associate with Birdsboro, right?
Yeah.
You are an associate with Birdsboro?
Yeah, volunteer associate, yep.
A what?
Volunteer.
Oh, volunteer.
Yeah, yeah. They don't pay me.
Yeah, no, I don't get paid either. Yeah, so, yeah, so he's with Birdsboro, my old church. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just really like, I've liked Russ over the years. We got our district license together. The same. We didn't go to Mac together, though. He went with Tom to Mac, though. He skipped out with that. But
I got COVID last year, so couldn't do it.
Yeah, everybody's got an excuse. You know. If you're going to use an excuse, COVID's a convenient one. But no, so I've always liked Russ, and he's been a fan of the show.
Yes.
We've talked quite a few times about the show.
You're the one.
Yeah, he's the one. Wow, he's the one guy that watches every week.
I've seen every single one.
You keep us going, literally. That's it.
It's the reason we do it. So if we bring him on, you know, he's our inspiration, so we might as well bring him in and do the show.
I mean, he says he loves it and he doesn't miss an episode and all that. He like goes back and listens to the other one. But when we start charging, he's out, right?
Now, I don't know if you remember this, Dave, but early on, I called you up at one point.
I do.
I was trying to hey, you know, if you want someone to visit, and Dave's like, no, that's good.
That's not true at all. Wow. I actually said.
Dave's like, no, I know you, so I'd rather you not come on.
Well, I went to church with Russ for several years, and that was several years too many, so I left. But I did remember when we talked, I said we'll try to get rid of Sean, and then you could come in.
You just integrate any bald guy on the end of the table and you're good to go.
That's what... Well,
bald guy and beard. That's all we need.
Beard, that's all you need.
And Sean's
glasses, bald guy beard.
Sean's been slimming down.
Hey,
I'll fit
that mold too.
Oh, is that it? You guys lost enough weight, but now you could fit in a fifth person.
Right, that is true.
That's what the problem was. That's why we've never had five on before.
Yeah. but Sean's slimming down, so I figure at one point we could just lock him out. You take his place, nobody'd be the wiser.
Just slide right in. Take the job.
And we're right around the corner from you. You don't live far.
The one guy, Ron Hevelo from Birdsboro,
mm-hmm.
He took a picture of Sean. Sean was visiting down there at one point, and he took a picture of us, and he keeps showing people. He's like, look, these guys, like, they look exactly the same.
Oh, I have that picture right here.
They're like brothers.
Pictures can be deceiving. Yeah. You know, there's a picture going around at Conroy on social media these days. I wouldn't believe everything you see.
We don't need to discuss that picture.
I wish everybody could see it. Is there any way anybody can see that picture?
I'm going to post it. Oh, there you go. See, we look like brothers right there.
Let me see that.
Definitely.
Yep.
Talking of pictures. Real quick before
I got
we
one
get
of you and me like that too, Tom.
Yes, except I'm a lot shorter.
Except it's just Russ. We don't look the top of Tom's head.
I mean, I definitely see the resemblance. Sean could definitely be your dad.
That's why.
I could be
because you know your small head makes mine look really big. So that's why I was like, no, we can't do that again.
Yo, talking of pictures before we get to Russ, Lisa, post up. Oh, you're posting it on the Facebook page. Yeah. Oh, it doesn't let you do it on the stream. All right.
That picture is amazing.
That picture is just beautiful. Anyway, continue.
It was a good picture. You know, so I just thought it'd be a good idea to get Russ on the show, and we decided to have an opening. We were going to do another guest tomorrow, so we reached out. And at first, Russ was like, I don't even know who you guys are. I don't know why you're calling me.
Yeah, so it was weird. We all had to call him, and we had to call him from a different unblocked, because we were all blocked on his cell.
So I had Andres call him.
Right.
Because it was easier because he answered for Andres. That was kind of weird. He said, yeah, that one podcast in the basement in Royersford wants to know if you'll be on. And he was like,
the number one podcast.
Number one podcast in the basement of a church in Royersford.
Rated now.
He's like, what's the pay? That's funny. Andres is like, well, I'm pretty sure they're going to have some old cold pizza. And he's like, heck, I'll do it.
Actually, he's like, well, you're tall, so you'll get paid more than Tom.
Yeah.
He
gets two slices. Tom gets half a slice.
I'm sorry about it. I didn't mean that.
Oh, no, it hurt. It hurt. Now I understand my life, though. It makes a lot of sense.
Wait, so you're saying your whole life you've been paid less? I
didn't know till now, and I'm looking back. I'm going down memory lane when he said that. I'm like, oh.
You were self-employed.
You could use this with a church board someday and say, you know, you guys should compensate for this.
I'm going to. Next church. Yeah, we got a board meeting on Monday. I'll be talking about this.
So you were subconsciously paying yourself less because you were short. We've had a breakthrough.
I didn't even know it.
It's okay if you need to cry.
That was
wow. Well,
a good one.
Russ, welcome. It's good to have you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Well, oh, is this that transition thing you guys talk about?
Yeah, it's rough, isn't it?
Pretend. It doesn't always work out well.
Usually I do the transition, but Sean's doing a great job.
I tried to jump in because I didn't know. I thought that was about to go dead air for a second. So I was like, let me just try and jump in real quick. But yeah, so Russ, it's good to have you here. So Russ is going to tell us a little about himself because I'm not very good at describing Russ. So you know what? Russ describe himself.
All right. So I grew up in Jersey. So we were talking about some fun things in Jersey and stuff. And it is a whole culture there. I didn't have the shore culture part, you know, so I didn't get that part. But when I was real young, my parents, they both kind of had different Christian beliefs, but they didn't really have a church they strongly belonged to. But then they were invited to the one church, Trenton Nazarene Church, to a VBS. And when they came over there, they had been going to I think it was a Presbyterian church for a while, but just weren't plugged in the same way. And when they got there at Trenton, they found a family. And now the other thing is, when I was a little kid, my parents, they struggled with their marriage and life. Dave, you might learn something here because you know my parents. So, but they struggled at some points at times where they were getting physical fights.
Wow.
Yeah. My mom one time, I remember seeing her just like, she's probably mad if I put this on the internet. I don't know. She's but, you know, she went over to, hit my dad or something like that. And he, threw her in a glass cabinet. Stuff was broken all over the place. But, the only reason I'm saying that kind of thing is because through the church family that we had there, they started turning that around. You know, they got involved in some, some of it was at the Nazarene Church and some of it was other churches they were part of too, but they got involved with a marriage encounter or marriage enrichment kind of program. And, you know, I could see them even as a young person changing their patterns, you know, and starting to shift it up. Or even just in how they interacted with my brother and I, you know, I would say it was more on my mom's side. You know, she came from rough situations when she was younger. So she just kind of had to figure some things out. My dad was trying to figure out how I could support that and work with her in that and work through maybe some temper stuff as well. But not trying to air out all their stuff. It's supposed to be my testimony. But the reason it's my testimony is because even at a young age, I could see how their involvement in the church changed things. You know, like they didn't just go and come home. You know, they got invested. They learned from people. People reached into their lives and said, hey, this isn't great. You know, you got to switch it up and do some things different. And then that really kind of keyed me into, okay, you know what? I know I was only 12 or so when I first got saved. But I was like, yeah, I can see how this is changing them and it's changing our family. So, like, I want that, you know? I wanted something that could shift things up because as a little ADHD kid, I was pretty good at getting into some trouble here and there and not knowing how to manage different things. Plus, you know, some of the patterns that my parents had exhibited, you know, earlier on, you know, that kind of impacted me to not have the best patterns. But I was like, you know what, this church thing I think can really, really help me out and turn some things around. And the other thing that was neat about, I don't know, my family when we were younger, we were tied into the Nazarene church, but we were also tied into some other different ministry kind of things, like a different family camp that we went to and stuff like that. That wasn't with the Nazarene. We did the Nazarene one too at times, but and I really got a good concept, I think, even then too, of the larger kingdom of God. And I got different experiences from different people and how they did things. And that was really important to me too. It was like no matter where I could go, I could still find that, you know, like that family, you know, like someplace else. You know, if we went to this other place,
yeah,
it almost felt like I was as close to them as some of the people from my local church, you know, some of the different scenarios that we had. So, yeah. Oh, and I did want to say, so when I first became a Christian, it was at a kids camp. So, you know, I know you guys have talked about that on the show here. And I just think those are such important ministries, you know, mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, we came to the church because of a VBS, you know, and then later I got saved because I went to the camp. And I just want to encourage some of you. I don't remember who it is, Dave. But, you know, if you're afraid to do, like, those swings at camp, like, I would just say go for it, man. Those are less amazing.
Did you do that swing?
Oh, yeah.
When the kids hoist you up?
No, listen. Yeah. I did it twice. And I used to do that kind of stuff in college where I did, like, the ropes course and things. So, like, I was, like, flipping upside down and, like, pretending like I was Spider-Man, like, shooting out webs out of my hands and stuff.
Right. But we're getting fear and fat conflated. Because I wasn't too afraid to do it.
I did this 3 or 4 years ago when I was up about, like, 80 pounds. So...
So, but you wore it out. Yeah. And now the next time it's going to break.
Those things are rated. I don't wow. know the story. You said something broke, but they're like rated for like 5-10,000 pounds, depending on the cables and stuff. They use like airline cables to make those.
So if I lose a couple, I'm probably okay.
Couple what?
1,000 pounds. Tons.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I did it.
No, I didn't mean that. So
it's cool what you're saying about your parents. Cause like, I feel like as a parent, you look at the mistakes that you make that your kids see and go, I can never come back from this. But meanwhile, you're saying that the mistakes they made and then watching the God's healing in that changed you.
Yeah.
Which is...
And you're right, because that's one of my biggest prayers now is the mistakes that I make as a dad that my kids could say, you know what? At least he kept trying to get better.
Yeah.
I'm praying hard for that one.
But when you said, like, watching the mistakes of your parents, like, it's, I never got the chance to really see. I saw them go their own way as far as, you know, their journey with God. I never got to see them come together, mm-hmm. come back together, but... whatever mistakes they feel like they made, I'm fortunate enough to be able to, I was able to let each one of them know, like, whatever mistake you made or you mm-hmm. feel you made,
yeah,
we still learned from it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we chose to go the right way.
I feel like there's I wish there was video proof that I could show my kids though of like the mistakes my parents made.
Yeah.
So I could be like, look, it's getting better.
By the third generation down the line,
Russ,
would be great.
So I was kind of curious about your calling into ministry and mm-hmm. how that came about.
Yeah, actually, that's my next thing in my notes here too. So that's perfect.
He has notes, everybody. He's prepared.
He did not know what he was getting into. He brought notes. We're like, what are those?
Yeah. So those were like the kid years. But then as I kind of went into my teen years and young adult years, I started feeling like God was calling me into something, but I didn't quite know what it was. I kept trying to, I think, sort of write my own desires onto that. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back now. And I'll get to that in a minute, but I know what he was actually calling me to, and I think he was being very clear at the time. But I didn't know his voice the way that I should, and so I got really just confused about that, and I would try and say no. Like at one point, I feel like God said, you know, I want you to be a pastor, and my brother had also kind of felt like he was going to be a pastor, and. I was like, well, no, that's his thing. I can't be a pastor, and he's be a pastor. That's his thing. And so maybe it's a missionary, you know. So I kind of went that route. And then later, when I got involved with camp ministry and did those fun swings and zip lines and all those kind of things, I was like, yeah, no, I think this is where I should be serving. You know, like, because I just didn't want to accept that God could call me to preach, you know. I think that was probably the biggest thing. You guys probably would not believe this because of my talkativeness now, but I used to be like deathly afraid of any like cameras, microphones. I actually took a class in college, like it was a communications class on radio, mm-hmm. and so I did some radio, and the professor actually told me like, "Yeah, Russ, I don't think radio is for you."
I took the same class and ended up with two radio shows.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So. I even had like one time I was on a mission trip, and at the end of the mission trip, one of the teenagers that was on the trip was doing like a videography thing, and like we were just sitting in the airport, and she started trying to like, actually, it's, I don't know if any, she's Becca Hansen, she's from Lansdale, but she was trying to like film me and do this little interview thing, and I like froze then too, and it was literally just her and me sitting in the airport, like you know, waiting for the plane, like I just had this crazy stage fright that I just couldn't get it overcome. So, yeah, so throughout all those years, I was just constantly saying, no, God, it can't be preaching. It's got to be something else and looking for something else. And so then I just kind of continued on that, looking for ways to serve and ways to kind of keep ministry the way I wanted it to go. You know, I would read my Bible, and I knew how to pray. I kind of did all the typical things. I found my place in ministry. You know, I loved doing stuff with the youth and serving them in that way, helping organize
events. Weren't you working on like a ship at some point?
Oh yeah,
that was like the last time I actually like sat down and talked to you. You're working. I mean, maybe not the last time, but you were working on like a ship.
Yeah, that was down in.
You're like a pirate or something.
Maryland. Yeah, it was. No, we had a pirate ship. It was a English Elizabethan scallion. It was like a replica of that. So it had like the square mast riggings, and we had mini cannons, and we would fire them off down the Chesapeake Canal. Oh, man, it was fun.
Did you leave One Eye Willie his treasure?
Yeah. No, <I'm just> I don't know.
Sorry, that. I got you off track.
Yeah. No, that was a fun program. But again, that was one of those things where I was still trying to, you know, find a different place than what I think God was calling me to do. So I went on. Grew up in all adult life, and I would say by that point, there'd probably been about three or four different times where God was trying to get that message into me, but I got to the point where I think because I was subtly running from that there started to become like a little bit of a darkness that was just settling over me, because since I wasn't serving in what I was supposed to be doing, I just didn't feel right about any position, you know, like so I just would kind of jump around to different things, and it like just started messing with my head, and I was just having these dark thoughts, you know, like wanting to just take off or, you know, get away from the church or just all sorts of stuff. I don't want to get into all the details of that.
No, I was going to ask like what was it? Because I'm constantly, I don't want to say being pulled, but I'm constantly being told that I need to know this voice. I need to know, hear this calling. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the voice, and I don't know if I'm running from it because I don't know the voice. So I need to figure out a way to actually hear it so I know that it's that's what's being said.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, the change happened when I was at the Riverview Church, the Reading Nazarene Church, and Pastor John really kind of helped me get to a place where I could start to discipline my life in a whole new way. Because if you haven't heard him preach, he is a solid biblical preacher. Like, and there's no bones about it. He's going to tell you what it is, no matter how you're feeling about things in life. But and so I really just was like, I got to a point where I was like, I can either get serious about this, get serious about my faith, and try and be like a disciplined believer, or yeah, something bad and dark was going to happen. So, fortunately, I think I made that choice. I was like, let me give this a whirl. And so I really like settled my mind on, I'm going to learn like and study the Bible. I think that was like the first thing that kind of started shifting in my life. Because before that, I had read through it in college. I went to Mount Vernon Nazarene College, so like it was part of the curriculum. I was like, okay, I did that now. I don't need to worry, you know, do it anymore. I got that check off the list. You know, I read the whole thing. I can use it when I need it, and that's good. But there was a lot of things in it I didn't understand. So I really just started like studying the Bible in a way where if I was reading through it, but if I found something that just didn't make sense, I would like pore over that and just discover what that was, what it meant, or where it was, over and over. Yeah,
that's what he does.
Yeah. And then the other part of that was again from Pastor John, a big focus that came out of my life at the time was on prayer. I mean, he's a powerful prayer, and he really helped me just learn how to do that, be okay with like praying, because it was neat too. That wasn't even just a Russ thing at the time. Our church up at Riverview, like when we first started going there, like people didn't like to pray out loud too much. I mean, people would pray, but it wasn't a thing. By the time we left there, because of that, just constant push to pray more, like we'd get together on a Sunday morning, like before church, like an hour or so before church, and like, oh my goodness, sometimes we had to like cut it off. And we're like, all right, people stop praying, because people were just praying.
That's his gift.
Yeah.
That's his gift, praying out loud.
Yeah, yeah. So, with the prayer and understanding the Bible better, and just disciplining my life in general, I think it put me in a place where I think I finally had a personal relationship with God. Before that, it was always kind of through somebody else's channel, you know.
Right.
And I was thinking about that. It's like
theoretical.
If I sat here the whole time and Dave and I wanted to talk, and I just like, hey, could you please tell Dave this or whatever, you know? And then you'd tell him, and you'd interpret what he had to say, and you'd come back to me. I mean, sometimes I think people do that with in the church, because they'll let the preacher tell them who God is instead of spending the time with God, you know, daily. And so that's kind of where my heart was. And I really had to get just significant discipline and a significant commitment to knowing God. Because then all of a sudden, the next time, it was a Sunday morning that Pastor Hambrick on our district, he came out and he said this prayer. And he started praying, Father, today, you know, I've been going around and praying this at different churches. Because I think it's important. And I thought he was about to say, if anybody's not saved, you know, here's an opportunity to come to Christ. So I started praying in my heart, Father God, yes, please, if somebody's not saved, this is awesome that he's doing this. Like, let's make sure that people are hearing it. So God, make sure that whoever needs to hear this right now is going to hear what Pastor Hambrick has to say. Well, then the next thing he said was, if anyone is feeling a call to ministry, you know, and all of a sudden, bam, it hit me. And because I had just prayed, make sure the person hears it, they need to hear it.
Wow.
Well, the person was me. So cool. Yeah. I don't know. Is that like selfish then? Because I was praying for myself?
Yes.
I
Absolutely.
No. God knew what he was doing. But and in that moment, you know, like there's nothing that shook me since then. And I still kind of said, because even my wife, when I told her about it, she was a little like, seriously, dude? Like, this is going to change everything. But she was like, but you can't even get up on a stage. Like, how are you going to do this? Okay. So then, I don't know, it was a couple, maybe months later, Pastor John had me get up and do a sermon. You know, he helped me through preparing some different things. And after that Sunday, because it just was gone, it was different, she was like, okay, you're called to be a pastor.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Great.
Yeah.
That's a cool affirmation.
So, and I think even in all that, like, there was a time, sorry, I don't know, are we bad on time? I'm not good at those things.
Good.
Okay. There was a time where I think in that journey of getting to know God more, there was another piece to the whole puzzle where he said, I want you to throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And at first, I didn't know what he was talking about.
Right.
But I was also kind of struggling with this health issue. I had a liver problem, a fatty liver, and my liver was at a fibrosis level 4 out of 4, which the next step would have been cirrhosis of the liver. And I was a good Nazarene. I wasn't from alcohol. Okay, just hang on.
No, just, this is your story.
Yeah, yeah. But so I think I personally think it was because of too much sugar in my life. But
diet.
Yeah,
caused fatty liver.
So I had this thing going on. And God was saying,
right here. See on Tom? See how it's like bulging?
Yeah.
It's from the Red Bull and the candy. It's actually been talking to me this whole time. It's liver. Anyway.
That's right. but yeah, so I started going to, I was going to the doctor, and then God said, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And I actually stopped going to the doctor who I was going to, because they were telling me they wanted to poke a bunch of holes in me and do all this, and I need to take these 100,000 pills and all that, and to switch it. But they also told me, this was, I think, the key to that was, they said, you can manage this, and maybe it'll go down and get better a little bit, but it's not going to go away, right? That was what they told me. So I started going to another doctor, and I started just really disciplining not just my spiritual life, but my physical life as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I started losing weight, and I started, just exercising more, and just was in a better headspace and everything. And don't you know, in the process of all the things that God kind of led me to do in throwing my nets on the other side of the boat, the next time I went to the doctor, they were like, oh wow, you went down, you're only like a fibrosis liver 2 now, like, you know, like, so you probably got about as good as you can get so far, you know, like, this is better than we expected. Another 6 months goes by, my liver was healed.
Wow.
It's completely healed.
That's phenomenal.
Now, to make it even a better story, because that's just wonderful in and of itself, I listened to God, I disciplined myself, I changed some things up as he was leading me to, and I got healed. Well, my wife had the same exact issue. She had a fatty liver as well, and she wasn't quite as far as me. I think hers was like a 3 or 2, but then she started following a lot of the patterns that I was doing, and not just, you know, spiritually and physically as well. And don't you know, her liver went back down to a 0 as well.
Wow.
And neither one of us have fatty liver anymore. We've got rid of it. And I think there was some science, medical things that God led us to that helped in that. And that's why I like some of your the plant-based stuff and all that. I know you
Amen,
guys
brother.
Have different things on that, but I can say that was a big part of that journey.
Yeah.
Are you plant-based now?
Not 100%, but I've mostly. And for a while during that liver journey, I was 100% plant-based.
Yeah, it's one of the things they talk about, is that that's one of the biggest killers of... anyway.
I think it's the sugars, honestly. I really do. I think the sugar... There's so many hidden sugars in all these different processed things, and I went a lot of whole foods. Just
when you go the whole food route, you eliminate a lot of that processed stuff.
But I think God led me to that. And then, honestly, I you know, since... The doctors were saying this wasn't going to go away. Obviously, God stepped in. He did something too. It wasn't just because, I did some good things. It worked out. You know, it was a combination of all that. He asked me to be faithful. I was faithful. And then he made his magic happen.
I want to make sure we touch on something before we run out of time. You said something pre-show. Wow. You said something pre-show about needing a cough button.
for Elijah, but we'll get one. You said something pre-show that you don't consider yourself to be a Christian anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's phenomenal. We can make a whole episode out of that, but I wanted you to say it, and we can respond to that for a second.
Oh, yeah. I just was... I think it was Tom. He said I wasn't a Christian. He was trying to tease me a little. So.
I said I was going to ask you a question to see if you're a Christian or not.
And then, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And I just looked at him. I said, well, I think I am a Christian. I said, I don't like the title. I think we've messed up the title so bad that I prefer it. Generally, somebody goes that route, I'm just like, no, I'm a follower of Christ. You know, like I want to be like him. I want to do things. So, but as far as just trying to give myself a title, I don't need a title. I'd rather have a lifestyle, and I think that's a big part of my journey.
Yeah, that's interesting because, and like I was saying in the pre-show, Facebook has the religion thing on there that you can put what you are, and for a while I had Christian on there.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 years ago, I took that off. I'm like, I'm not a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ, you know, because of exactly what you said, you know. And then what really hit me hard was. Family camp 2 years ago. I don't know if you were in there when Dr. Stephen Manley were talking.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, we're not really followers of Christ. The disciples were more of followers of Christ, right? Christ isn't really here right now. We're kind of like merged with Christ. We're saturated with Christ. You know, and when he hit us with that concept of a kingdom person and the way he related, you know, we're kingdom people, the king, we're dumb, kingdom. And it just hit me. I'm like, it made complete sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't. I mean, you know, by the standards now of this whole Christianity thing, yeah, I don't. Well, I always tell people the same thing. I'm like, I'm not a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Even though I have changed my mentality of following Christ to be merged with Christ, but for conversation purposes, I see the same thing as well.
No, yeah. I mean, it used to be a source of pride that I'd tell people, you know, I'm a Christian. Like, especially when. Like, you know, as a business owner, people would, you know, if they're questioning, you know, ethics or something like that, you say, listen, I'm a Christian first, you know, and now I feel like when you say that, you almost have to like qualify the statement. I'm a Christian, but I'm not that kind. Yeah. You know, so I was like, oh, that's interesting. I never actually thought about not classifying myself as a Christian. I might have to think about that. Just say, you know, I'm a Christ follower and that's why I do these things. So interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely would love to have you on again because there's still some questions. And maybe I'm just gonna call you and ask you personally because
either way,
a couple years ago the Lord put in my heart. And I've been talking to my wife a lot about it, about doing a podcast called Sanctification Hour, mm-hmm. and bringing people in and talking about their sanctification moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because till I became involved with the Nazarene, for me. It happened to me before I even knew what it was.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting story, and you've probably heard
that's
it.
That's my story, too.
So I know we don't have the time now, but I definitely want to get back on here and talk about that because on Wednesdays, I feed Pottstown at Pottstown Episcopalian Church, and the one lady was saying to me, she said, you know, I used to go to the Roy's First Church of the Nazarene years ago, you know, but then they started talking about the sanctified thing, and it just made no sense. I knew about the salvation, but then there's another thing.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people don't even understand that whole concept of it. And
it's the master's
degree. That's a good thing. That was growing up in the Nazarene Church. I feel like there were times where I had, I don't even know, probably at least five or six different operating concepts of sanctification thrown at me. You know,
yeah.
And so I didn't understand it at times. There was because. People explained it their own way and it didn't make sense. But then I think once I kind of was in that disciplined time where I was like, let me figure these things out and learn what it actually means.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to like stink on anybody's particular definition. Some might have been a little better than others, but
mm-hmm.
I think we need to understand that more. What that means, what it means for a lifestyle, what it means for a follower of Christ. Because I think those two things go together pretty tightly.
Is there anything else you want to make sure you get off?
No, I think I got all the things. I mean, I just have a question. Did you ever invite any of the other ones back to testimonies? Because I'm just feeling a little special right now.
Yeah, no.
No,
we invited all of them back.
Oh, okay.
None of them have returned the phone call.
Yeah.
So you know, but I remember, we'll see if that changes.
I'll say his name. We had Gary.
They don't come back for other reasons.
We had Gary Bean.
Listen to this.
He's the secretary of our board. Great guy. Love him. He's Pastor Pete's father.
It was like episode 10.
Yeah, we had Gary Bean. I remember him. You know, and he did great and stuff, right? And we finished the podcast and stuff. And we're like, hey, so how was it, man? You want to come back? And he looks and he goes, it really wasn't my thing.
We're like,
it's not for me.
Yeah. We're like, oh, that went really well. I mean, how what did you think? He goes, oh, hated it.
Did he smell popcorn that week?
He was filling in because I was off.
Yeah, but it still smelled like popcorn. Yeah.
He was in my chair, so he probably got a little off when he sat down.
All right.
Shane, we'll have you back. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we need to. That was great, man.
All right, somebody close this thing.
I guess I'll do it.
That sounds
good. Can I do it? I'll do it.
I don't know, can you?
I'll try. I'll give it a whirl. Thanks.
Way to go.
Wow.
Amazing. That was riveting stuff. Yeah.
That was the best you've ever done.
You could tell he's been doing it for a while because
he prepared it. He brought notes.
Nailed it.
He had that under control.
That's not what I wanted to do, but it was perfect. No, thanks for watching, listening. You can get all our episodes on YouTube, Spotify, Podcast Addict. Yeah, we're gonna pray. Yeah, we gotta pray.
Sorry, yeah.
Podcast Addict.
I'll feel bad.
Are we on YouTube now?
Yeah.
YouTube as well. Thank you.
Apple Tunes, America Online.
Apple
Tunes.
AOL. You've got mail. So on behalf of that ball guy and this ball guy and
that short guy.
Short guy and this ball guy. Thank you so much for coming. We really, really appreciate
the underpaid guy.
I appreciate what you guys do. This is good. I like this. It's relatable, I think, for men in a lot of different ways, but then you still get some stuff in there that helps us to think. So you guys do awesome.
Thanks, I need to talk to you one-on-one too.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you do too.
I didn't ask you. You know what? Now I'm going to fight it. I don't want to talk to you ever again.
Okay.
All right. Take us away.
Let's pray because we got to go to commercial break.
Father God, thank you for another week of bringing us together. Father, we even though we don't understand what you're thinking, we still come and do it anyway because you've asked us to. So we appreciate that. Lord, be with Russ and be with his family. Continue to bless them and continue to help them grow in their ministry and see where that's taken, Lord. I love my brother Russ, and I can't wait to see what he does with where you've called him to be. So, Father, be with him and his family because it's all in one thing with that family. So be with them all in that. Lord, be with Randy and his family as they're going through some struggles. Lord, you know what it is. You know what's going on. And just help them find the help that they need. Get every that situation taken care of, Father. Father, for family in general, send some guidance. Give us some direction on where you want people to head, your families to head, where you want parents to lead their kids and let the kids listen to where their parents are leading and let them all be listening to you in the same moment, Father. It's very important right now, especially in these days of chaos and craziness, that we hear you more in the world less. So, Father, I ask that would happen across everywhere right now. For Alana Woodley, Father, you know the situation. You know what she's going through. Continue to bless that family. They are doing some amazing work in Papua New Guinea. So be with them. Help heal Alana up. Get them back to where they need to be and get them going.
Yes, Lord.
Father, for RNC, for Royals for Church of the Nazarene, RCN, sorry. Father, be with my church family. There's a lot going on. There's a lot happening. And Lord, just keep those pieces moving the way that you see fit.
Yes, Lord.
Let everything happen for your glory, for what you have planned, for those you plan to bring in, for those you plan to have help, for those that you see fit to put in our path to help in your name, Father. Put all those pieces together and let everything to come together for how you want it, for your glory, Lord, for your purposes, your power.
Yes,
Father, I just want to take a moment to pray for those. As we go into the holiday season, we go into Christmas season, we're getting ready to celebrate you, Father, celebrate your son, celebrate everything you've done for this world, Father. There is a lot of folks out there that struggle. Mm. There are a lot of folks out there that are dealing with depression, with loneliness, Every time you turn on the news, you're hearing somebody else took their own life or somebody took somebody else's life because they couldn't cope with what's going on in the world. Yeah, there's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of loss. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of just confusion, Lord. So for all of those that are lonely, for all of those that are going through it, for all of those who are missing some loved ones this season, for everybody who's just going through it right now, whoever's in a funk, whoever's in a downtrodden time, whoever is being physically, mentally, spiritually attacked, Lord, be with those people. Mm. Be with those people 100% of the time.
Yes, Lord.
We know you are, Father, but I'm asking for especially for people that we know, that we don't know, because there's a lot of folks that don't tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks that just deal with it in silence, Lord. And that's when the enemy gets a foothold, and that's when the enemy gets in. So, Lord, step into those situations. I'm asking you, as their second, to step in. Let them know you're there. Let them know your peace. Let them know your joy. Hmm. Father, we're all your children. Help bring them, or help bring us to them, Lord. Bring your people together. Those that know you and those that don't. Those that have forgotten and those that never will. Bring us together as one giant family at your table, at your celebration, in your kingdom, in your house. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The one thing that I just want to say real quick that was really powerful about your testimony is when you were talking about feeling like you're getting the call, but not really recognizing the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of recognizing the voice of God and how that in itself could just be life-changing. When you're able to recognize your master, the one who created you, your shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's biblical about the sheep following the voice they recognize.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of people needed to hear that. And the other second point that I want to point out from your testimony that really, really touched me in my life is when you said about learning about Jesus through preachers, through other people, instead of going right to the source and build and working on that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people fall into that, where they'll listen to preachers, they'll listen to, they'll read a devotional, they'll listen to TikTok videos, they'll mm-hmm. listen to social media and try to learn that way instead of actually going right to the Word and
right.
have the Lord speak to them. So I want to thank you for bringing those two points up.
Yeah, thanks. We'll be praying for you, and hopefully we'll have you back, and, you know. May God bless you along your journey. And you're tall, so I'm sure you actually make good money. Yeah. All right, everybody. Love you. Have a good week.
Love you all.
And enjoy this independent music from Tracks on Tracks Productions.
That would be me.